Welcome back to the program. We are guest-free for the rest of the night. So feel free to tell us how bad we suck on the text line at 855-282-8255 or the Bellman Automotive phone line at 855-282-8255. That's where we can find Hockey Bob joining us right now. Hockey Bob, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right, man. Just playing a little cards and having a good time. But before I get into the reason why I called, as far as management styles and how players react to them, let me just share this. You know, I listen to a lot of radio, and most people know this, Matt Berger. You probably don't. I have great disdain for the Cardinals. In fact, I hate the Cardinals so bad that every year I pray in spring training that they would go 0-162.
Why do you hate the Cardinals so much?
I do that because I watched Tony La Russa ruin a very good team in the 70s, and everybody thought he was great and fantastic, but I think he sucks. I think he sucks as a person. He sucks as a manager. He's a horrible human being. So I always
he sucked all his way to 2 World Series titles, huh?
I don't care. You know what? I'm not.
He's
I'm
a horrible human being.
Why is he a horrible? How is he a horrible human being?
He's a freaking bully.
He was a bully.
He's a bully. Were you around how he treated? He had Albert Bosque.
Wait a minute. Okay, Hockey Bob, time out for 1 second. So you don't like Tony La Russa because he's a bully, but I think the last time you called me, you were defending Donald Trump, who's got to be the biggest bully on the face of the earth. What are you talking about?
Five. I'm not talking about Donald Trump.
Okay, but I mean you're a little inconsistent on how you like bullies. That's all I'm saying.
Donald Trump is not a bully.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, get to your original point. I don't have time to get into this BS with you right now, Hockey Bob. So get to back to the point of why you don't like the Cardinals.
Okay, well, let me just get to the management styles. You know, there's two kinds of management styles. You can go in as a new guy with people that have been there for a while, and you can just kind of stand around, look, make assessments, and then make changes accordingly, or you can go in there being the tough guy. I've done it both ways, and I found out that being the tough guy, going in first and then lighten up, is a better way to do it. Mike Matheny is not that type of manager. He's a very light manager. And he may not be the best manager, but he's still a pretty damn good manager. And for all these people that don't like him, I think they just need to back off him because he's doing a damn good job, in my opinion, with what he's had to work with. So that's all I got to say, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Hockey Bob.
How can you go after Tony La Russa after he essentially...
Tony La Russa, a bully. Donald Trump, not a bully, after he has mocked handicapped reporters.
La Russa comes in 96 when the Cardinals are in one of their worst throws, and he builds them to 2 world championships, including... And hell, he didn't even win a championship with the best team they had. You talk about the 04 teams, how good some of those teams were, the way La Russa... Obviously, it wasn't La Russa building the team. The Cardinals organization at the time had some of the best front office managers in the business. But nonetheless, La Russa helped build that team up. And now you're saying you like what Matheny's doing better? Matheny coasted off La Russa's players.
Hulk Hogan's fanny pack text again. La Russa may be a bully, but he's my bleeping bully.
Yeah.
And was a reason for this organization's success for the last 20 years. La Russa drove everything. You're finding that out. He was a real GM. I don't understand how people can't stand Tony La Russa. As far as a manager goes,
I can understand.
If you don't like the guy, then okay. But how can you argue with his success as a manager?
Well, I
mean, I don't understand that.
The big argument people have against him as a manager is that obviously early in his Cardinals career and then all of his Athletics career, it's dominated by steroids players.
Oh yeah, and he was the only manager.
No, he wasn't. And within the vacuum, you can criticize him and every other manager who did that. But I can understand maybe not liking La Russa's management style. But to come out and just say that you like Mike Matheny better and with what he's been able to do so far than Tony La Russa, saying that he's a better manager is just I don't see how you can come up with that thought process. That's the thing that throws me.
Thanks for the laugh though, Hockey Bob, saying that La Russa is a bully and Donald Trump isn't. That got a good chuckle out of me.
Yeah,
let's head back to the Bellman Automotive phone line and Jim joins us. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, sir. What's on your mind?
You know, Matt, I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of confused that the Cardinals didn't make a move. But then again, I think, in a sense, you have to take the overall view at the end of the year, take a deep breath, and to figure how you're going to break this team up. You know, we all were enamored with this free agent signing last year of Dexter Fowler. And let's be honest, this year he's been a bust. He really hasn't done anything. As far as the clubhouse is concerned, the thing with Molina, let's face it, Mike Matheny, one of his major problems, and you know I'm not a fan of his at all, He let three guys run that clubhouse, Adam Wainwright, Matt Carpenter, and he also let Yadier Molina run that clubhouse. Those are the three guys that run the clubhouse. They basically tell him what they want to do. Wainwright when he wants to pitch, Molina when he wants to play, and Carpenter where he wants to bat. If you want to make this team productive and you want to break this team up, I think you have to start with two of the three. And I hate to say this about Molina. I think you kind of overpaid for him. You went ahead and you took what happened in that World Series of Baseball in the spring, and you let him parlay that into the contract that he got. Is Carlos Culley the future of the team? I think he is. I think what you're going to have to do with Molina, and somebody's going to have to figure out, you're going to have to figure out a way that he plays a third to a half of his games at first, and he catches the other halves, so you give this Culley kid a chance. You can't let this Culley kid sit for 3 years on the bench and not play him at least half the ball games that are in there. Carpenter is a waste. He needs to go. I think he's a malcontent. He shows me nothing right now. The free agent they should have signed, and again, it's 2020 hindsight, you would have got a lot more quality out of J.J. Riddick, which the Astros have, instead of being so enamored with Dexter Fowler. The team has a lot of problems. Again, I believe you need to trade Rosenthal. Do you really want to mess with Scott Boris and Trevor Rosenthal wanting to be a starting pitcher when he only has basically one pitch? And I was wondering, too, you know me, I'm not trying to beat my own chest, but did you see Tim McCarver's column in the paper over the weekend about starting all these pitchers? You're not letting them pitch enough. Each manager just beats himself up. Look at yesterday with Toronto. He has like an 8-run lead. He has a guy pitch the eighth inning with only 13 pitches. Then he brings in a cluster, you know what, of pitchers in the ninth. He ends up losing the game. I'm sorry, it was Mike Socia, not the Toronto manager, but the Angels manager.
Sure.
I'm going to hang up, listen to your comments. Guys, thanks for letting me always vent. Thanks for letting me call your show. I appreciate it. Guys, have a good evening. Again, I want to hear your comments on what I had to say.
Thank you, Jim, and appreciate the phone call as always. I'm trying to think of where to begin. I always laugh about how with Yadier Molina, we'll just start playing him at first base. I'm tired of having players that can play like three or four different positions. I don't want that. If you're a utility guy, that's fine. That's the point of being the utility guy.
What's the line between utility and versatility? Is it your batting average?
Probably so. But I mean, like,
you're a versatile player if you're batting 300 and can play three spots. But if you're batting 220 and you can play three spots, you're a utility player.
Look at the teams that are successful. You don't see them bouncing around their position players all over the place.
Yeah, the Cubs do it.
Who do they do that with?
They'll put Chris Bryant in the outfield and then move him back to third base.
They do that during the – they'll have Chris Bryant start left field one game and then third base the next.
They also move Javier Baez around.
They do move Baez around a little bit.
Baez will be the third baseman if Chris Bryant's playing left field and things like that. So the Cubs switch it around. But then again, that I think the Cubs are the ultimate – kind of the exception that proves the rule. Unless you have a bunch of 23-year-olds who can bat 300 while playing three different spots, you're right. That's the difference between being a versatile player and a utility player.
And the thing with Carson Culley, too, and we talked about this with Brendan Schaefer, they should have sat Yadier Molina down and said, look, this is what we're going to do with Carson Culley. And if you're not cool with this, then don't sign this extension. And if they didn't have that conversation, that's on them. That's not on Yadier. That's on them. You can't be mad at Yadier Molina for that one.
No.
Hulk Hogan's fanny pack texting back in. Maybe Tony can hire the leader of men at ARF once DeWitt comes to his senses. That's kind of funny. And then Sugar Shane, Mike got the keys to a Corvette and it's slowly turning into a Pinto. And he's right about that one. But I mean, you can't completely blame that on Matheny. Some of this has to go on Mozeliak too, because he's the one that's giving him the players. Yeah. Now, is Matheny doing a very good job of developing these players? Absolutely not. Which is why I'm nervous about, okay, well, we're just going to get a bunch of young players like Harrison Bader and Mag Sierra, and we're just going to put them in the major leagues, and then we're just going to develop them. Where's the evidence that they've actually done a good job of developing some of these young players in a top-notch major league talent? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, the only proof is with the pitchers. They've done a fine job there, but yeah, when it comes to the hitters... Hitters are just not working right now for the Cardinals. Their young hitters just aren't. I mean, we see flashes in the pan, obviously, all over the place. I mean, that's the thing. I think that's the part that really bothers people is you see the flashes in the pan from Piscotty and Grichuk and Wong that make you think clearly they didn't do a poor job scouting these guys with talent. But then you come to the side that makes you angry, which is if they do have this talent, they can flash it sometimes. Why can't we see it consistently? Is it the fault of the players? The fault of the coaching? Is it the combination of the two? That's the part where St. Louis fans get really aggravated, I think.
I go back to that conversation that we had with Richard Justice a couple weeks ago, talking about how he saw a player, it was a shortstop, it might have been Brendan Ryan, who knows, you know, flub some play out in the field, and by the time he got to the dugout, Tony La Russa said something to him, Jose Oquendo said something to him, Albert Pujols said something to him, and Molina said something to him. You're not seeing that now with this team. Nobody's held accountable. I think Jesus Ortiz wrote something about that in the Post-Dispatch. There's a real lack of accountability being held in the dugout. There's no question. Sugar Shane texting back in, I hate that Yachty has always gotten a free pass in STL. I'm glad he's getting held. I'm glad he's being held accountable. Actions have consequences from the 636. You absolutely can't replace Carr's bat for Molina's. Molina would also be subpar first baseman. I agree with him on that one. And then from the 224, Hockey Bob dive headfirst into the shallow end. Let's head back to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Baby O joins us. Baby O, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, I have so many directions I could go on this Molina deal and the Cardinals themselves. First of all, I just think Yadier Molina is intimidated by Carson Kelly.
I think there's some of that too, yeah. Threatened.
He feels threatened. Let's face it. You know, Molina has caught more innings than any catcher probably in the last 10 years. So it's not like he's not getting his time. And Rocchio, you worked the show before. You worked the show before this, right?
Yes, sir.
If you can, pull up the statement John Hadley made about Molina last. You remember that?
I believe so, yes.
John Hadley tore into Molina so bad. And this is something, Hadley said something a lot of people have not said. Now, this is his opinion. This is his opinion, of course. We have to make that clear. But I remember when Mark McGwire was here, John Hadley was one of the first people who came out and said how Mark McGwire really was during the home run chase when everybody was just drooling over him. And everybody knew it. They knew what kind of person he was. But Hadley was the one few who came out publicly. Now, as far as what Molina did, and let's face it, I love social media. I'm on social media all the time. But I think in a situation like this, and see, we don't know whether he went to Matheny or not first. So I've heard people say, well, he should have gone to Matheny and talked about this. We don't know that. We don't know what happens in the clubhouse. But what he shouldn't have done is got on social media and kind of contradict what his manager said.
Okay,
and of course, Matheny has to get on television and try to change the words around, but the meaning was the same. It doesn't make no difference how Mike Matheny worded it in front of TV camera. Bottom line is, he still meant the same thing.
Don't you think there's some kind of real disconnect, though? I don't think it's just that one thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a real disconnect between Mike Matheny and Yadier Molina. And what did everybody say? What was the great thing about having Yadier Molina on the team? Was that he was like having another manager out there on the field. He's like having another manager with the pitchers. So I think that sometimes I think Molina and some of these questionable moves that Matheny has made over the years, and now you're just seeing what direction this team is going. I think Molina just finally got fed up.
Let me tell you something. Molina misses Albert Pujols.
I think that's probably some of it too.
But remember,
and Oquendo. I guarantee you he misses Oquendo too.
You know something? And that's another good point. And I say, remember now, when everybody's criticizing Molina about not hustling to first base. First of all, Molina is slow. And Molina hustling, he could be hustling, he's just slow. So sometimes it may look like he's not hustling. They timed this guy with a sundial. So, I mean, he's just, but there are certain times. Now, there was a situation, I believe, last week. He kind of trotted it down to first base, and then the infielder bobbled the ball, and he got thrown out by about a step or two. You can look at a situation like that and say, well, maybe if he would have run a little harder.
Okay, I'm kind of okay with that, and here's the reason why. Yadier Molina is not exactly the youngest player on the Cardinals team, and he is the catcher.
Not.
And he's also, would you almost make the argument that he's also a very important part of the pitching staff. I don't want Molina coming up lame with a pulled hamstring because he was trying to run out, you know, and hoping to beat out a ground ball to short, you know, in the middle of July. I'm sorry. I'd rather have Molina in September than not have him on the DL with a pulled hammy because he was trying to outrun a ground ball to third.
And let's face it, and this stuff about team having clicks and stuff, teams have always had clicks. It's not in baseball. It's at the radio station. It's at the factory. It's at the restaurant. Everywhere you go, there are going to be clicks unless you work by yourself. So I don't get into that. But I think, and I don't know. I can't say I don't know. But Tommy Pham has kind of become a real voice on this team. If you notice, when somebody guy hits a home run, who's at the top of the steps first now? Who's greeting players first in the dugout? Who greets a lot of players?
It's Tommy Pham, but who also liked that post that Yadier Molina had on Instagram? It was Tommy Pham.
I didn't see the post on Instagram. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying there's something between Pham and Molina. They're probably not. But I want to go to the front office and the so-called not trades. People, we have to remember, we don't find out about what happens from the trading deadline until it's released. Everybody in Major League Baseball knows every negotiation that's going on before we know it. The Cardinals looked at what was going on. They looked at the Dodgers getting Yu Darvish. And the rules like that. And I'm saying to myself, and the Cubs getting on the winning streak all of a sudden doesn't help either. And if I'm in the Cardinals front office, first thing I'm saying, should we really try to make a move? Because realistically, there's not a chance we're gonna make this thing. We're not getting a wild card spot because we're too far behind Arizona and Colorado. So our only hope was to hopefully stay with the Cubs. And now all of a sudden, the Cubs are right at the ship. Could they go on a losing streak later on? Maybe so. And remember, the philosophy of the Cardinals may be changing. With Mozeliak moving up to president, wherever he is, they got the new general manager in. And remember, the big contract is coming in next year. The Cardinals may be trying to go more towards the free agents. And forget what Dexter Fowler's signing. I say Fowler's going to be fine. But all of a sudden, the way fans are talking, you cannot all of a sudden not sign free agents because one guy didn't pan out for 1 year. I think the Cardinals are going to go heavy in the free agent route this year. They almost have to.
They got no choice. Because you look at the prospects that they have, I mean, they have some nice prospects, but I don't think they have any prospects that I've seen that are going to be like, wow. I mean, no one's like a Chris Bryant or a Bryce Harper back in the day where you're like, wow, that kid is going to be a superstar.
Yeah, and let's face it. This is one time, you know, the Cardinals have got a pass from their fan base because of their success. But everybody knows, with that billion-dollar contract coming in next year, if they don't do anything, they're unfortunately going to get a reputation of being greedy.
That fan base is pretty upset today. I don't know about getting a pass.
But I'm talking before it. And this is one time they shouldn't be upset. I'm being realistic. The Cardinals have no shot of winning anything this year.
No, you're right that they don't. But they could have at least maybe made a move to help improve the team, you know, this year and going forward. Brendan Schaefer's right. Now what they're doing is if you're going to wait until the offseason, now you're competing against all 30 teams to get these free agents.
You know what? Which goes back to what I said. We don't know what kind of conversations went on in the front office. We don't know what the Cardinals offered. And we don't know what other teams are asking for. But let me tell you something. If I'm the general manager, if Reyes' name comes up, if Martinez' name comes up, I'm hanging the phone up right there. And let me tell you something. Those are probably the first two names that's probably coming out of most general managers' mouth because they know the position the Cardinals are in. So to get upset we didn't make a trade is somewhat unfair, and I think we're so used to this quote-unquote Cardinal way. It didn't happen this year. So I'm trying to be realistic because I don't know what went on in negotiations, and I'm going to feel I'm fine with it. I'm going to see what happens come November when the big money kicks in. Now, it's harder signing free agents now because, like you said, everybody's getting big TV contracts now. The Cardinals, look, did you see the contract Arizona had?
Yeah, everybody's got money now.
Everybody has money now. So it's just a question of now, you know, question analysis. And I'm going to tell you, and I'll go after this. The NBA has really changed the way athletes are looking now. When you look at some of these athletes, I'm not going to say some, a lot of these guys who've been playing a while, they're making a lot of money, they want to win now. So all of a sudden, it's not always who you offer more money. It's going to be who you feel comfortable with and who you think you got a chance, how you got a chance to win. If I made $60 or $70 million during my career, I know that's a lot of money to me sitting in New City, I may want, that ring may be one thing that's missing right now because I'm set for life. My grandkids are set for life. So it's going to be more than just writing a check. We got to take them to the zoo, to the arch, over to the hill. So it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot to do. But I'm interested to see what's going to happen more in the off season because of that big money kicks in. But remember, a lot of other teams got big money contracts coming, TV contracts coming from Fox next year also. Take care, guys. I'm always enjoying your show.
Appreciate it, baby-o. Have a great night. Have a text coming in from 314. No move for Cardinals. How will this impact the clubhouse? I don't think it's going to impact the clubhouse at all. I don't know if they were really anticipating anything or not. Do I think there's going to be another blow up between, you know, management and player? I don't know. Possibly. Here's the real question, though: Are the Cardinals going to finish above or below 500? Right now, I got a feeling they're going to finish below. I think they're going to have a losing season. I think they're going to finish a couple games below 500. Sugar Shane texting in, does not matter who he is or how long he has been on the team. You run out every ball hit. That's what you're taught from Little League on up. He is tired of it. I love the tired of it.
I love fans that actually get angry. Like, I actually was talking to fans over the weekend.
I love the tired of it.
Yes, me too.
That never gets old.
But I actually ran into some fans this weekend who legitimately, like, I asked them like four times. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? You're like, you're playing into the joke. That are legitimately hold it against Yadier Molina that he doesn't run out every first, ground ball. Like, legitimately, they're like, that's not how Cardinals play baseball. And I'm like, I'm going to need you to go ahead and drink 13 glasses of milk in 3 minutes. Just go ahead and end it right now. You are no longer necessary to the conversation. Like, just how dumb can you possibly be if you actually are going to get that hung up about a guy hustling a little bit more? It's the weirdest thing to me, but it's a real thing, apparently. I don't get it.
Lexington Steel texting in, Doug Vaughn should get out there. He's got a big stick. Put him in the three hole. Hey, I like it.
Surprise, he's hit three hole.
From the 224, I'm tired of it. The media in this town is soft. We don't have any Bob Fesco drops, do we? We need to get some Bob Fesco drops.
We could have gone pumpkin picking.
No, I'll work on it.
God, we played those every morning, didn't we, Rocky?
Well, I mean, there's one we haven't talked about. I mean, the Cardinals, you didn't make any moves, so now you know what they got to do, Matt Berger?
What's that?
Just win!
Just win games!
Win games!
Lexington Steel texting back in. Doug Vaughn should get out here. He's got a big stick. He can bat third. He got speed too because he's running with a full diaper.
Man, Lexington Steel is just
all about the Doug Vaughn. Doug Vaughn is a very sexy man, though. Kind of hard to ignore him. Every time I see him, I'm just drawn to his animal magnetism.
Lexington
Steel. He's got the Kevorka. He's got the lure of the animal. Back to Kyrie Irving. As we pivot off.
Wait, can I stick with the Cardinals for a second?
Yes, sure.
I brought up some quotes that Mike Matheny had in the bigger conversation. People, there was a story that was put out by OutSports that they weren't credentialed, and I think that's a much smaller story than what some people are trying to make it. But there was some comments in that story that I just have to highlight really quick while we're talking about Cardinal baseball. We only got 13 minutes left in the show. In this story on OutSports, Mike Matheny, talking of his players that talked ahead of him at Christian Day, for them to share something that isn't politically correct anymore, something that isn't publicly acceptable, for them to stand up there to share takes a great amount of courage. I'm sorry. What city are you living in, Mike Matheny? Because the city I live in has a Catholic church or has a Christian church and or school of some denomination on every other corner. I have no idea what Mike Matheny's talking about here.
I don't know what he's talking about either.
I have no idea. And so my comment is obviously Mike Matheny's delusional. Newsflash, not just about baseball, though.
Good point.
That story came out, and I think that was a small part of it that I wanted to highlight because I just couldn't figure out what he's talking about.
Ward Cleaver texting in, no movement to bring NBA or NFL back to St. Louis. We're acting like weak-ass bitches. Oh. I'm tired of it. Lexington Steel texting back in. I'm tired of Mo not doing his job because he's always busy on the changing station. 636 texting in. Yachty is an overpaid loafer. The Cards get what they overpaid for.
Oh, I love it. He's a loafer.
Show me the money! Show me the money!
An overpaid loafer. That's the funniest thing in the world.
It's kind of amazing how a lot of people, like earlier in the year, everybody was turning on Matt Carpenter. Now they're all turning on Yachty. One thing I did notice on Saturday, which I thought was weird, I was at the game, Cardinals and Diamondbacks. I saw a lot of people walking around with Cubs jerseys on, Cubs jerseys and Cubs shirts. And I'm like, okay, you realize that the Cubs aren't playing, right? So why are you going to the game? Obviously, you're a Cubs fan.
Is that equivalent to the guy wearing like a Manchester City jersey to a Cardinal game?
No, like that. That doesn't bother me for some reason.
No, see, that bothers me.
That bothers me. Why does it bother you?
It just doesn't make sense.
Why are you buying jerseys? I'm bothered by the fact that you own a jersey. Second of all, I'm bothered by the fact that if you do own a jersey that you wear, you don't ever actually wear the correct one to the correct sporting event. If you're going to be such an idiot that you buy a jersey and wear it, wear the correct jersey.
That doesn't bother me.
What bothers me
is wearing a jersey of a team that's not even playing. I think Cubs fans, I think now they're kind of got that hipster attitude to them. It's kind of like, okay, I'm gonna go to this Poison concert, but I'm gonna wear my Strokes T-shirt to show how cool I am.
What if me being a Zach?
I think it's a little like that.
Me being a Zach Greinke fan. What if I wore my? I don't have one. I'd like to get one. But what if I wore his Dodgers jersey to the Diamondbacks game? Would that be weird?
No, because Zach Greinke pitched.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. That
Zach Greinke pitched.
Lexian Steele chiming in with the best text of the entire day. Why didn't the Cardinals trade for Kyrie?
They should have.
You know what? I blame Mo. I have no idea.
I blame Mo on the changing station with Doug Vaughn. Wow. He was too busy with that.
Wow. It's like he
was preoccupied.
We got a little game of Clue going up in here.
The gayest game of Clue ever.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were going to say that Clue's the gayest game ever.
No.
Jesus, Burger.
No.
Not even holding back the homophobia, are you?
No.
Oh, no, you're right. That is a pretty...
Yeah. I believe you said we are an anonymous platform for gay sex at one point.
Well, that is true. I mean, there are a lot of texters who are trying to hook up not that long ago. Josh Tuna texting in, I'm tired of not having a football team blank the NFL.
Yes, I completely agree. LeBron should run this club. He has a pair of balls. Lexington Steel.
Lexington Steel is on fire tonight, man. He is feeling it.
Ward Cleaver can't get a WrestleMania in St. Louis. Doug Vaughn has a fat ass. I'm tired of it. Is there a TMA event tonight that no one told us about?
No, I don't think so.
This is incredible.
We're being invaded by the TMA clan.
This is crazy right now.
I love it.
All the people are coming in. They're like, you know what? My texts don't get read in the morning, so I'll wake up 12 hours later, send it in, see how it goes.
Why not? But back to Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, the guy's crazy.
Do you guys think Stanley Steemer is more of a cheapskate than Build the Wallet from Lexington Steel? Stanley Steemer making news because he is launching a channel in England that is featuring big game hunting, where they're hunting lions and elephants for trophies, as if you didn't think that Stan Kroenke could be a more worse human being, proves you wrong.
Sometimes I don't like to come after people, especially millionaires who get their money tangled in stuff that some people find reprehensible, and especially when it's something that's technically legal, because like is Stan Kroenke a big proponent of personally game hunting?
I don't know if he is or not, but I mean, he's in bed with them now.
What's the difference between big game hunting and poaching?
Poaching is outlawed.
There's a lie that big game hunting helps support the indigenous communities.
Poaching being you just leave the animal there and it's produced.
Well, you'd cut off, I mean, I guess poaching of like rhino or elephants would be you take the horn or you take the tusks and you leave them there. But there's also part of the thing is big game hunting is this idea that it helps the communities in which you're participating in the hunt, you know.
What, financially?
Yeah, you pay $100,000 to a lion hunt. They get, they're supposed to get like 40% of that $100,000, plus they're supposed to get, you know, after you kill the lion and chop its head off, you donate the meat to the village as well. The problem is studies have found out that while, you know, 40% of that $100,000 is supposed to go to the communities where you're killing these people,
these lions, you mean?
Lions and these elephants.
Although there's probably people out there who support Stan Kroenke who wouldn't mind hunting people.
Essentially, there are studies finding that a very minute percentage is actually going to these communities, and essentially the entire lie around big hunting being helping these smaller communities is total and complete crap.
There has to be a way that you can help these villages financially and supply them with food without having to kill an elephant.
It's called charity.
There has to be a way. They're not mutually exclusive.
No, they're not. But you want to feel the rush because you're so manly for killing an animal. Yeah. That's impressive. You did it with a firearm.
The Lord of Ladue texts again. Lexington Steele is texting in too much. He's tired of it. Lexington Steele, wonder how often Gersh Tongue. Nope.
don't read the next one either.
Ward Cleaver, Stan Kroenke needs a well-deserved yip. Yes. I'm just going to agree with all people, the texters. I'm just going to say yes.
Well, frankly, I think it's safe to say that the St. Louis listenership to 590 is tired of it.
Yes.
All.
Tired of all of it. King of all Filipinos, I was hunted by a bear at the Grove last weekend.
And on that
I think we spoke too much when we said that Lexington Steele had the text of the night.
Lexington Steele finishes all last
King
day.
Of all Filipinos.
Love this show.
King of all Filipinos, thank you. You won.
Hunted by a bear. Don't tell Chris Gardner he will never leave his house. The Grove is relatively close to Central West End.
Good point. He's scared of bears.
Yes, he is.
Special thanks to Jeff Gordon, Brendan Schaefer, and Ted Burke for joining us.